you guys like to join me in cheering and clapping raucously for David Shunker? That was quite raucous. That was good. I'm pleased.
That was a cool story. Just before I start what I'm talking about, I've got another story like that. So I went shopping yesterday, which is a surprise because I don't like shopping. If I had more money than... Nope. Other one, it's behind the sound desk, behind the TV. I went shopping. And no, I didn't go with my mom. Okay? And my sister works at Zellers. She gets discounts. And apparently, they're closing now. Her store. Yeah, it's turned into Target. But basically, she's found deals on different shirts. And she brought one home. Yeah, it's pretty good. But that side note, I don't like shopping much. But it worked out in my favor. You like shopping? Which of the guys here like shopping? Guys, you're not a guy. Only you two. Okay, I don't go shopping with my brother because my sister had a bad incident and I did not want to go after that one story. It's not even from my own experience. It's just what she told me. So basically, she was at the store with my brother and he was checking out this one jacket for 2 hours and he didn't buy it. But that's all they did. And that's the only story that I heard about him shopping. And after that, I said, I'm not going shopping with him. I can't do it. I was shopping for maybe 20 minutes and that's it. And I was done. 5, that's a good time, but I had to make a choice because they had quite a big selection. If you want to know where I went shopping, you can ask me after, but yeah, I'll tell you after. Okay, so side notes aside, yeah. Who's been here for the past 2 weeks?
Yep.
Quite a few of you. I've been away for the past 2 weeks, so that sort of makes things challenging for me. Because I wasn't here for when you guys talked about being ambassadors. And what do you guys remember about what Dave Ross and Jez talked about in the past 2 weeks? Just start calling things out. Very good to know. I know you guys usually don't like talking back and shouting when it comes to this, but you're all for it in the games and stuff. Anyone have any ideas? Like, no, that was Friday night, somewhat. We've been talking about being ambassadors to Christ, yep. Being princes and princesses, yep. Anyone else? Okay, let's just go for it. I'm sure one of them defined what an ambassador is, right?
Yep.
Anyone remember that definition? Ernesto, give it a try. One who represents you, yep. Virginia, did you have something else? Jez, did you have something else a bit different? Yep, that's what I was looking for. A representative of the Most High Order. So basically, our representative here for the Queen is the Governor General. I don't know if you know that, but he's like the highest ranking official in Canada. He can overrule the Prime Minister because he's the direct representative of the Queen. And for those of you who don't know, yes, we are still under England's rule, technically. Yeah. The two English people in the room are excited. Everyone else, not so much.
Yeah.
So that's what an ambassador is. Now, we've been looking at the verse 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? Okay, we've been looking at the verse, and I just want to go through it again, but this time I've looked it up in the Message version, because I like checking out different versions of the Bible and seeing what different versions say, and how they word different passages. So I'm going to start at verse 16 to 20. If you guys have Bibles, you can follow along, but we've been doing this since the beginning of the year, actually, so it's pretty big right now. I'm sure you guys probably know it, maybe not in this wording, though. So we're starting at verse 16, and it goes to say, because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. Now, what decision is that? When we accept Christ into our lives, that's when we become the new bodies, right, that we've been talking about. When we accept Christ, we have a transformed life, and we don't start to look at people about their outward appearances, but rather about their heart, right? And that's what Jesus taught us how to do. We look at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. That basically means in the New Testament when Jesus was around, he knew he was the Messiah, but it didn't look that way to the rest of the world because they were looking at everything he did rather than who he actually was. And that's how they got it all wrong. And obviously we don't look at him anymore that way because we know that he conquered death and he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. So basically, through the one act that Jesus did on the cross, he reconciled us back to the Father. And for those of you who don't know what reconcile means, it means he sort of restored the relationship between us and the Father so that we can be princes and princesses in his kingdom. We can be the sons and daughters that he wants us to be. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. And that's part of the verse that we're looking at for the past 2 weeks with the Ambassadors of Christ theme. God's given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. So he's asked us not to just keep what we have to ourselves, but to share it with everyone around us. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. So that's the message version of the verses that we've been looking at. And it's quite a different take on how we've looked at it before, because sometimes the King James Version or other Bibles sort of put in old slang. Do you guys know what I mean? Like thou, thee, all those old term words, which sometimes make it hard to understand all put together. The message is more modern, and it's always good to look at different translations and see what you get out of each one of them. But from that passage there are two things that we can see that happen in our own lives. So the first I've already sort of mentioned, which is reconciliation. We're reconciled back to God, and it's, like I said, the restoration of a personal relationship by dealing with the past. When Adam and Eve ate from the apple, that's when we fell away, pretty much. And when Jesus died on the cross, that's when that was all changed and we were brought back into a working relationship with God. And the hardest thing that I know for myself I struggled with, and most people that I actually talk to about this have a hard time accepting, is we always ask ourselves, is God willing to accept me? And that's not the question that we're supposed to be asking, because through that one act, God's already accepted us. He's already made the way for us to be in relationship with him. The question that we should be asking ourselves is, are we willing to be reconciled back to God? Is that going to be something that we believe ourselves, or is that going to be something that we're going to be constantly thinking about? When Jesus did that one work on the cross, it's all finished. He even said, it is finished. And that doesn't mean that he did what he did and that's it. He did what he did and it goes on through eternity. Even now, even though it's 2,000 years ago, more than that, but even though it was so long ago, the effects of what he did on the cross are still around, and we still have that ability to enter into that relationship with God. Now, that's the first thing. We ourselves are reconciled back to God. The second thing that happens in this is that God wants us to show others how to be reconciled back to him as well. We receive that reconciliation, and we're not supposed to keep it for ourselves. We then become ambassadors of Christ, as our topic theme is sort of stating. And ambassadors, you've sort of talked about for the past 2 weeks. I don't know exactly what's being said, because I haven't been here, but ambassadors have no authority of their own. The Governor General, he can't make decisions for Canada without the Queen saying so. So he can't tell us to change our currency to the pounds if the Queen hasn't said so. Yet he has no authority to do that on his own. But with the Queen's, okay, go ahead and do this, that's where his power comes from. They only speak and act on behalf of their ruler. Now, an ambassador is, if you look more into it, something that I found out is pretty interesting because it actually relates pretty well. But an ambassador for a country lives in a foreign country. So basically, if we're ambassadors of Christ, we're living in a foreign country right now, right? If we're supposed to be the ambassadors of Christ, this is not our home country. Now, do you guys get where I'm going with this? This isn't where we're going to be forever. Our home country is in heaven. And an ambassador shows everyone who lives where they are how amazing their home country is and how amazing their ruler is. So we're supposed to be showing everyone here, since we're not actually from here, quotes around that, but since this isn't our home country, so to speak, we're supposed to be showing everyone that we come into contact with how amazing God in heaven is and help them enter into that relationship as well. Now, being an ambassador for Christ, we're going to talk more about how can you actually live it out in your lives today. And to be an ambassador of Christ, you need to have integrity. Of course, you have to know identity, and we talked about that on Friday for those of you who are here. And that's one of our main focuses as a youth group as well. But integrity is also one of the big focuses that we have here as well. Can anyone define integrity? Okay, go ahead. Okay, Dave is the definition of integrity. Anyone else? Can anyone define integrity? David, which one? Okay, integrity, the way I like putting it is saying something and then backing up what you say. So if I say that I'm going to give all my money to the poor and broken, and then I don't actually do that, that's not integrity. If I say that you guys shouldn't, let's use smoking as an example. If I say you guys shouldn't smoke, and then I go and do that, that's not integrity. Integrity is living the life that you talk about and backing up what you say. And we have to have integrity in our words and actions. Actions speak louder than words, and a picture's worth a thousand words, right? So our actions are like a moving picture. And when you see in the olden days moving pictures where it's literally still frames all put together to make a movie. Yep. Was that really enjoyable as compared to the movies that we have now? No, but when it first came out, it was totally enjoyable. Like, it was a totally new experience for, I don't even know when it came out, but in that time, it was totally new, and it wondrous to them, I guess you could say, because they'd only seen pictures before, but never put together in a movie sort of thing. And the thing is, we have to watch what we do around everyone, because we have to back up what we say and who we are. If we say we're a Christian and then we go and do stuff that doesn't exactly back that up, then other people will see that and they won't really see the life that God intends for us. We also have to show everyone around us love. Christ is love, right? I mean, the greatest sacrificial act that ever happened on earth in history is when Jesus died on the cross. He was blameless, had done nothing wrong, and he still chose to die for our sins, all to reconcile us back to God. And that's the greatest act of love. Who here has been shown acts of love before? I'm sure all of us, whether from our parents or anything like that. What's the biggest act of love that you can remember in your life? Just call out stuff, whether it's being given an iPad. It could be something not physical. Maybe you're just told something really great about yourself. But what's something that you still remember to this day that really changed you or impacted you? Because it was just such a profound act of love that it stuck with you. Anyone have anything?
No.
Any ideas? It can even be small things that we may think are small, but to you it impacted you.
Yeah.
David? Oh, Day of David?
Ben basically decided that they were going to have a special day, which was just to, I don't really know what, just to say I'm awesome. And so they basically just made a whole day about me, just to do something which I wanted to do with all my friends. So he secretly told all my friends who were in the school ministry. Now you remember. And these guys, and basically we had a whole day where like the whole day was just for me, and we did loads of really cool things, and it was really fun. And it was all just for me. Oh, and this ring, Ben gave me this ring too.
Yep, I've got one, and that's actually good that you mentioned it. I've had this for maybe 9 years almost. So it's been a pretty long time, but Ben gave it to me when he was making some changes, but they didn't actually work out, but it stuck with me, and it was just a profound act of love that I still have it to this day, as you guys can see on my ring finger. Not my wedding ring finger, because I'm not engaged or married, but many people make that mistake, especially the Brits. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn with... What? Jez is just sort of like, why am I pointing out the Brits? But it's true. Isaac always... Someone in the school here always asks me if I'm married, because he sees my ring on this finger instead of this finger. Because in England, if you wear it on this finger, apparently you're married. Isaac doesn't think so. So I'm just saying what he tells me. I don't know much about England, but I'm just going by what other people tell me. Okay, so if you turn in your Bible to Matthew 5, we're going to look at verse 13 to 16. And I'm going from the Message version again. So you might have heard this before. It's a pretty big, like, commonly used passage in the Bible. But you might not have heard this version. So it's about salt and light. Maybe that refreshes your memory. So we're starting at verse 13 in Matthew 5 and going to 16. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house, be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Now, have you guys eaten salt and vinegar chips before? Or just salt on anything? Probably, right? Do you guys find you're thirsty afterwards? Yeah. Have you ever eaten plain salt? I have. It's not that good. But it makes you wanting something to drink because it sort of parches your throat. And that's what this passage sort of talks about in the beginning. We're supposed to be salt. Salt makes you thirsty. If we're salt to the world, we're going to make other people thirsty for what we have. Anyone know about the olden days what salt was used for? It was used for preserving meat, specifically, right? Ernesto, were you going to say... Ernesto, did you have anything else? Or preserving? Yeah. So that's what I was going for. Preserving. We're supposed to preserve the things in this world that God's called us to. Anything that's good, right, pure, we're called to preserve that as well. So salt has many different uses, and it's no coincidence that that's the example that has been used in the Bible. We're supposed to be salt and light to this earth, and that's a very good, I think it's an allegory for how we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to make people thirsty for what we have, and we're supposed to preserve the good things that God has put in this world. Now, to do that, we have to be open and honest with our lives. I'm not saying make your life an open book, tell everyone everything about you. That's totally not what I'm saying. But just don't be afraid to show what God's put inside of you, because you've all got something special that God's put in each one of you, and He's going to bring that out in His timing. And don't be afraid to tell other people about Him. That's what being an ambassador pretty much is. In Philemon, do you guys say Philemon? I know some people who do, so I say Philemon. One. I'm going from verse 1, but it's Paul talking here, and he says, I, Paul, am a prisoner for the sake of Christ. Now, I'm sure we've all seen movies, but prisoners don't really have much freedom, right? Prisoners are usually in shackles, they're in a jail cell. But he's not an actual prisoner, he's a prisoner for the sake of Christ. What does that look like in our lives? If we're going to be prisoners for the sake of Christ, we can't do anything else that doesn't affiliate with being an ambassador of Christ. We're sort of stuck in showing God to the world, being a prisoner for everything righteous, everything pure, and everything good in this world. In Philippians 2:14-16, do everything readily and cheerfully, no bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, the breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night, so I'll have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. That's what stuck out to me from that passage. We're supposed to show people who God is and what a life lived as a new creation is like, right? Now, the question that I'm asking today is, how are we doing that? I know from myself in my high school time, I totally didn't do that. I sort of played dominoes, I was at the cards table, I was just hanging out with different people. Yep. But although I knew most people, I changed tables, depending on who was at what table, what different tables were doing at lunch. Although I knew many people, it's not like I was actually evangelizing to them or being an ambassador of Christ. I was just trying to fit in, trying to be popular, just being who I was to them. It wasn't even who I was that God saw me as, but who I thought that they wanted me to be, so that I would fit in, so that I would get to hang out with people. And that totally didn't show them who God was or lead them into a relationship with Him. And the thing is, when we love people, it's not always a hidden agenda for us. We can't love thinking that I'm going to love you and you're going to come to know Christ. We have to love unconditionally. The old popular phrase, WWJD. Yep, what would Jesus do? Would He love thinking that I'm going to love you so that you can do this for me? Would He? No. And that's the same thing that He's calling us to. We have to learn to love unconditionally, even when people maybe reject us, even though they may not always appreciate us, even when it seems like it's the hardest thing in the world to do. We're called to love others as Christ has loved us. And that's the challenge I want to leave you guys with today, is what are you guys doing in your own lives, like whether you're at school, if you have a job, what are you doing in your workplace that's showing others who Christ is? What are you doing where you're at in everyday life that is changing the world And what are you doing that's being a salt to where you're at? Are you actually making people hungry for more of God or what you have? And are you preserving the things that are good and right in this world? And another thing that God showed me just before I close up here is, how far are we willing to go for Him? You see, so often in life we're willing to do a lot for ourselves. We're willing to go to the gym, work out, suffer pain to look good. We're willing to, some people starve themselves to look good. Other people get liposuction, maybe Botox. I don't know why those came into my mind, but there are many different things that people suffer through to make themselves feel better about themselves or just change the way that the world sees them. But God's really asking us, how much are we willing to suffer for Him? And that doesn't even mean are we willing to get stones thrown at us. I'm not saying that. Don't go around in school and tell people to stone you, because that's totally not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, what length are you willing to go to see the world around you change? Because God can only move so much as you're willing to let Him do. So right now we're just going to pray. And if you guys want to see God move more in your lives, I just encourage you to just start telling that to Him. Because I don't know where you're at. You know what's going on in your own life. You know what you want to see done in your lives. And we're around if you want to talk to us, if you want to have someone to listen to you or even talk back to you about what you're going through. We want to help you with that. But we're just going to pray now. And if you want to see a greater measure of God in your life and you want to start living out more what an ambassador of Christ means, then just say your own prayer in your heart or out loud even. But just, you know what's going on. So God, right now I thank you that we can be your ambassadors, that we can be a salt and light to this earth, and that you've called us to that, and we're not alone on this journey. That we can share the gospel with our friends, not even caring about what they think of us, but that there's such a higher purpose that you've called us to, that their thoughts about us don't even matter, God. And ask right now that you'd show us what it means to be your ambassadors even more, that every day we'd be able to walk in integrity and who we are in you. Yeah, would you just show us your heart for our lives, God, because you have such big plans for our lives that we can't even fathom right now, and we just want to get to know you more. Yeah, so this week, just come meet us, whether we're in school, or just come prompt us to be your ambassadors, and give us the boldness to step out and listen to that you're asking us to do.